Station is supported by Harry Race Pharmacy and Photo, offering online photo orders at sitkapharmacies.com with in-store pickup. Harry Race, living local at 106 Lincoln Street and online at sitkapharmacies.com.
Good morning. It's Tuesday morning. It's time for Sentinel Sports on Raven Radio. I'm Robert Woolsey, Raven Radio News Director, and joining me...
Klaus Stopey with the Sitka Sentinel.
Klaus, it's been a couple of weeks.
A couple long weeks. Cold, chilly weeks.
Cold, chilly weeks. And there hasn't been a heck of a lot of sports activity, but you did do your long run, and we're going to talk about that. But fill us in on what's been going on basketball.
There's only been a little bit of play over the holidays, and that was the Sitka Wolves. They improved to 4-3 on the season. The boys beat Service 45-36, and then they followed that up with two wins against Bethel, 50-46 and 48-33, and those games were all on the road. What's interesting is they beat Service, they lost to Service by 9 points, and Service is in the middle of the Cook Inlet Conference, which includes South Diamond, East Service, Bartlett, you know, Chugiak, all the big schools. And then they turn around and they beat Bethel. And Bethel has a win over 4A Kodiak, who leads the Northern Lights Conference with a 4-2 record. And that conference includes Colony, Wasilla, Soldotna, Palmer, you know, some more tough schools. And Kodiak, of those two losses for Kodiak, one was to Mount Edgecombe. Now, the Braves are 2-1. They will play at Homer on Thursday and at Soldotna on Saturday, and the Lady Braves will be at Ketchikan over the weekend, and the Sitka boys and girls play at the Palmer Invitational in 2 weeks. So, and Sitka's three losses, two of them have been to 4A Thunder Mountain, that was at their tournament here, and then to 3A Delta Junction at the tournament here. And Delta is on top of the Aurora Conference, which includes Valdez. A team Mount Edgecombe is going to meet at the Barrow Invitational in a couple weeks, along with Anchorage Christian School, which is battling at the top of their conference, and Barrow. And Barrow has lost to Valdez, and Valdez is 7-1, and they have been beating everybody, South, all the big schools, everybody. And Sitka has lost to Delta. So we're in a crazy league right now, crazy year for basketball. And that's about it, except we also have coming up the Mount Edgecombe Invitational on January 16th. That's an adult basketball tournament, and the Braves and the Lady Braves, they kind of help out at that tournament, so that's where they'll be, and that's when the Sitka teams will be on the road in Palmer. So.
And that Mount Edgecombe Invitational is a fundraiser for basketball,
yep,
for the Mount Edgecombe programs,
yeah. And we're going to have teams from all across the state coming to that, is what I understand.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we'll be talking more about that. And Andrew Frisky is going to appear on the morning interview to talk about that, because that is a big deal. He's whipped that into quite the tournament.
You know, I think I played at something like that way back in the day when they didn't call it that, but we went over there, and I might even have caught a couple of elbows from Andrew during some of
those. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's almost like a preseason gold medal.
Yep,
tournament,
yep,
is sort of what it's become.
From what I understand, too, it's getting stronger than gold medal. And what I like about it is Petersburg actually comes to this tournament.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's hard to stay away if you're serious about adult basketball. But just touching again on high school sports, that's kind of one of the beauties of high school sports. It is really dynamic. You don't get these dynasties like you do in pro sports necessarily. It really seems like there's no clear favorites.
You know, and when you have schools that move up and down in the rankings due to budgets and people moving out, so they go down in school size. I mean, you're still having strong teams that are going up and down in the rankings or in the conferences. So yeah, there's no clear favorite. You know, anybody can. It's almost like professional football. Any team's going to win on any given Sunday. So. On any given Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can have a different high school winner.
Yeah. The way you describe it, following this early season competition, in a way is really fascinating, because by the time we get to the regional tournament, it really, in 3A, in Region 5, it's just Edgecombe and Sitka,
yep,
and they play this kind of round-robin double elimination mini tournament.
And what we're seeing is these teams are flying out to play a lot of other teams. And the reason being is maybe you don't win that Southeast game, but if you have a strong enough record against solid 4A teams or a solid other solid 3A teams out of your conference, you can get this wild card bid that is still available this year. So for Sitka and Mount Edgecombe, there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
Well, we look forward to hearing about the Wolves and the Braves and the Lady Wolves and Lady Braves more next week. But I want to dive in a little bit to your big run. Before you left for the holiday break, you told me that you had a tradition of running a mile for every year on your birthday.
And a tradition I'll verify right now. I'm going to change to kilometers next year.
Okay.
this was a rough year. I couldn't get it done on my birthday. And it's funny, sports and outdoor activities in general are a lot like life. I mean, things happen. I had hoped I would do it in Juneau because I have routes all scheduled in Juneau. But we changed our plan. We got on the ferry and we were going over to see my brother in Petersburg because you know he's battling cancer. And so I don't know if anyone's seen me when I run, but I have a pair of blue shorts and they say no one fights alone on them. And I've had them for years, and that's kind of the cancer motto. Anyway, so we got on the ferry. We were on the ferry for 27 hours and got off in Petersburg on my birthday. When you go into a town you're raised in, as soon as you get off the ferry, as a matter of fact, before we got on the ferry, we're lining up to get on, and people know you. Oh, Klaus, what are you? You're going to Petersburg, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get off, and everybody knows you. And after all the introductions and the old, hey, how you been doing? It was late at night, and I decided, well, let's go out the road. So we started in, and I got about 10 miles in, and I stopped the car for a moment. She's following me, and you know, I was getting a head cold, wasn't feeling good. So the next day's Christmas, nothing's happening. We get on the ferry the day after, come back to Juneau. You know, once again, just going through the motions and getting a little sicker. So I let that play out. And then this Saturday, decided to give it another try. And I broke it into two. I don't usually do this, but I broke it into two runs. I got up at 5 in the morning and got dropped off at the end of the road in Juneau. And I have some trails I follow, and so I get through with 30 some miles and then go home, watch a basketball game, watch some football playoffs, and then finish it up by multiple Perseverance trails and the Juneau Ridge. And it's really cold and windy and I'm feeling really punky, so I finished in my headlamp coming out in the dark. So got it done, but it wasn't fast. It was slow and it was icky, and you know, it's just like life. Some days you just go through the motions and try to get through it, right?
Yeah. So you had a 10-mile false start in after the Petersburg trip, and then you came back to Juneau and you bore down and you did it in two shifts.
Two shifts.
But all in one 24-hour period.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be the goal for the future. I might even move it to say, hey, 48 hours. Make it like an ultra run where they give you a time, you know, where you have to get in a certain number of hours.
And your grand total was?
59 miles.
59 candles.
Yeah. 59 candles. I didn't have the wind to blow them out at the end, that's for sure.
Klaus, I want to accuse you of cheating. I know a lot of people listening are going, oh, come on, the guy ran 30 miles and he went in and watched a basketball game. And then he ran up the Juneau Ridge and came down in his headlamp. That hardly counts as an ultra run. What's your response to that?
My response is go do it. Get outside. That's my motto. Just get outside. It isn't about the time anyway. It's just about getting outside and doing something.
And that affirmation, it's a good one too. And so next year you're shifting to 60 kilometers.
Well, we'll see. That's what I like to say, because it sounds, you know, it's like the first time I did the Klondike Road Relay, the 110 miles. If you do it in kilometers when you're going along the road, kilometers just start falling off. Like, you know,
you're burning up the kilometers.
You burn them up and you feel pretty darn good.
Well, Klaus, I want to say that 60 kilometers, I'm just doing the mental math here. I want to say that's 37.2 miles, a mere 37.2 miles that you'll be doing next Christmas Eve.
We'll keep it at miles until I do make that New Year's resolution. So.
Okay. All right. And there's no way that a lot of this run isn't going to be done in a headlamp up here you know, in Alaska, unless you decide to shift your venue to Patagonia or Australia,
or unless I get some people to join me. Usually, when you have some buddies with you, you don't stop and you keep going, and you don't break it up. So,
well, you have my phone number, so
you never answered it before. So, I don't think it's going to happen now.
Yeah, I'll be sure not to look at my phone on Christmas Eve. It,
you know, but the whole key is, and the whole point is, everybody, no matter what your age, just get outside.
I'm Robert Woolsey, news director here at Raven Radio.
And I'm Klaus Dopey with the Sitka Sentinel.
And you've been listening to Sentinel Sports on Raven Radio.
Do you have marketplace insurance with Blue Cross? Here are some tips. Set up an automatic payment plan so you don't miss a payment and lose coverage. If your income changes, update your marketplace account right away to avoid owing taxes at the end of the year. Send in all requested documents. If you run into problems with the marketplace, we can help. Call Search Outreach for free assistance at 966-8662. We serve everyone.
The 90-Second Naturalist.
Hi there, I'm Thane Maynard. 10% of the ocean and 17% of terrestrial and inland waterways by 2020. That was the goal world leaders set almost a decade ago to work toward protecting the planet. Protected areas, space on land and in water, cordoned off from human commercial interests, are essential for preserving biodiversity. The diverse array of plants and animal species contained in protected areas not only create a vibrant natural environment, but also provide valuable services like cleaning air and water and keeping human diseases in check. Protected areas can even benefit commercial interests. Marine protected areas give fish populations room to thrive, which in turn produces spillover for local fisheries. By protecting areas like dense Amazon rainforest or vast coral reef systems, more carbon is sucked out of the atmosphere, offsetting some global warming impacts. And of course, areas that are rich in biodiversity often have a high number of threatened or endangered species. Since 2016, there has been an increase of 3% marine protected areas and 1% on land.
The 90-Second Naturalist is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio and the Cincinnati Zoo, and is supported by the Gehring Center for Family and Private Business.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lazowitz, and this is Climate Connections. When you consider the causes of air pollution, you probably think of oil refineries and power plants, not huge modern warehouses full of books, electronics, and other products to be sold online.
We don't see big smokestacks here in our region, right? But what we do see is we see mega warehouses that exceed most times 300,000 square foot.
That's Anthony Victoria of the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice near LA. He says large storage and distribution facilities draw diesel truck traffic into the low-income areas where they're often located. Breathing diesel pollution can cause health problems for people living nearby. So in May, Southern California air quality officials voted to develop rules that hold freight facilities accountable for pollution caused by the truck traffic they generate.
We're in the beginning stages of working with these air regulators to try to create a stronger mandate for companies to really clean up their act, really forcing them to look at how they're moving these goods through our communities.
He says it's an important step towards improving air quality and reducing global warming pollution. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Calling all produce growers, food producers, and farmers. Join the 2019 Southeast Alaska Farmers Summit, taking place February 15th to the 17th in Sitka, Alaska. On Friday afternoon, Southeast Alaska producers will share their challenges, journeys, and secrets to success. Saturday and Sunday will feature in-depth presentations from invited guest speakers. Early registration has been extended to January 11th. Visit saltandsoilmarketplace.com for details. Hosted by the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition and the Sustainable Southeast Partnership.
Good morning. The time is 8:30. Today is January 8th, Tuesday, 2019. It's currently 34 degrees
and overcast at the Cable House, but there is a delightful blanket of beautiful white snow over everything today. It's a gorgeous morning and definitely a little warmer than yesterday. Taking a look at our marine weather forecast. For southeast Alaska outside waters, outflow winds will ease slightly early as Tuesday. High pressure over northwest Canada remains nearly stationary, and a weak low over the south panhandle moves east. Northern outflow will rise again Tuesday night into Wednesday as a stronger low pressure system approaches the southeast Gulf from the south. For Cape Decision to Cape Edgecombe, small craft advisory through this evening and through late tonight. Today, south wind 10 knots becoming east, seas 7 feet. Tomorrow, northeast wind 30 knots, seas 12 feet. For Cape Edgecombe to Cape Fairweather, small craft advisory late tonight. Today, east wind 15 knots, seas 7 feet. Tomorrow, northeast wind 25 knots, seas 10 feet. For Cape Fairweather to Icy Cape, small craft advisory through late tonight. Today, southeast wind 15 knots, seas 6 feet. Tomorrow, northeast wind 20 knots, seas 8 feet. The marine forecast for inside waters. In Icy Strait, small craft advisory late tonight. Today, east wind 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Tomorrow, northeast wind 30 knots, seas 6 feet. Freezing spray in the morning. In Cross Sound, a gale warning tonight. Today, east wind 25 knots, seas 6 feet. Tomorrow, northeast gale to 35 knots, seas 8 feet. In northern Chatham Strait, a gale warning late tonight. Today, north wind 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Tomorrow, north gale to 40 knots, seas 12 feet, freezing spray in the morning. And in southern Chatham Strait, small craft advisory through this evening through late tonight. Today, northeast wind 15 knots, seas 4 feet. Tomorrow, north wind 30 knots, seas 6 feet, snow in the afternoon. And taking a look at the updated zone forecast for our listening area. In Sitka and Port Alexander today, mostly clear, highs in the mid-30s, northeast winds to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, chance of snow, highs in the mid-30s, northeast winds to 15 miles per hour. In Tenneke Springs today, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-20s, east winds to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-20s, east winds to 15 miles per hour. In Pelican and Elfin Cove, today partly cloudy, highs around 30 degrees, east winds to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-30s, northeast winds to 15 miles per hour. In Angoon today, partly cloudy, highs around 30, northeast winds to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy, highs around 30 degrees, northeast winds to 10 miles per hour. In Cake today, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-20s, east winds to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, snow with snow accumulation around 1 inch, highs around 30 degrees, northwest winds to 10 miles per hour. And in Yakutat today, highs around 30 degrees, east winds to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, clear, highs around 30, northeast winds to 10 miles per hour. Taking a look at the community calendar for things happening in and around Sitka. Sitkins Against Family Violence is now accepting nominations for Outstanding Sitka Women for its 21st annual Honoring Women Banquet through Thursday, January 10th. The banquet is 6 p.m. on Saturday, April 20th at Harrigan Centennial Hall. For more information or to make a nomination, call Martina at 747-3370. Sitka Parks and Recreation Committee is meeting today at noon in Harrigan Centennial Hall. Also today, all are invited to attend the 10-week Winter Geriatric Healthcare Series of webinars on Alzheimer's disease and related dementia, 3 p.m. on Tuesdays starting today, January 8th, through March 12th in the fourth floor conference room at Mount Edgecombe Hospital. The cost is $10 per seminar, or $60 for six or more seminars. Those pursuing continuing education certificates pay an additional $45 fee. Coffee, tea, and light refreshments are available. You can register at akcache, that's akcache.org, or contact Aaron Mathis at 966 8720 with questions. The University of Alaska Southeast Sitka Campus, their Student Success Center, is offering a SAT prep workshops from 4 to 5:30 p.m. on Tuesdays through April 30th. For more information, contact Will at 747-7784 or W.A. Ortiz at alaska.edu. The Ocean Wave Quilters Guild meets at 7 p.m. tonight at United Methodist Church. All interested people are invited to attend. For more information, call Jane at 747-5998. The Women's Book Group meets tonight at 7 p.m. at the Pioneers Home Chapel to discuss Delicious by Ruth Reichel. All interested women are encouraged to participate. Those with questions may call Dorothy at 747-3412. What we heard on the Raven News this morning, when the Sitka Assembly meets tonight, consultants Sarah Cave and legal representative Sandy Johnson will update the Assembly on negotiations with Search over the potential buyout of the Sitka Community Hospital, in addition to other topics. When thinking of community theater, you might picture the charming actors, the ethereal voices, and the beautiful sets showcased in the Performing Arts Center. But maybe you aren't picturing the people behind the scenes, pulling the strings, making everything come together without a hitch. And one of those people is Daily Sitka Sentinel reporter Shannon Haugland, who won a Governor's Arts and Humanities Award for arts advocacy. And milder winters in Southeast Alaska might be nice for people, but not for yellow cedar trees. Without a blanket of snow in the spring, the roots can freeze during cold snaps. Climate change has been linked to killing at least 1 million acres of yellow cedar across the Pacific Northwest. And one ecologist wondered, for the yellow cedar forests and the people who care about them, what comes after environmental loss? All these stories and more are available on our website, kcaw.org. Or we have a podcast available. You can sign up for that on Stitcher, iTunes, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Coming up at 9 a.m., we will have Rich in for the Good Day radio show. And at 10 a.m., we'll have Tidewater Tunes with Emily. It's currently about 20 minutes before 9 o'clock. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Thank you for joining me this morning, and have a great day.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Rachel Martin. Senator Kamala Harris's new book, The Truths We Hold, is out today. It is the type of book that usually precedes a presidential run.
Have you made up your mind as to whether or not you're going to run for president?
I have not made up my mind, but I will. And I will, and I'll do that soon.
Do you know the criteria that you still need to put together before you do that?
Well, there's a collection of factors to consider. But I will keep you posted, but I am not prepared to make any announcement at this moment.
Let me know if you change your mind by the end of the conversation.
I will.
Her book reads part policy prescription, part memoir, and early in our conversation, I asked her why she decided to become a prosecutor.
My family and extended family thought at best it was a curious decision. And with some of them, I honestly had to defend the decision like one would a thesis.
What did they tell you? Why did they not
they
expect
said,
that from
well,
me?
Because they said, why would you go and be a part of an institution that is not always fair and does